Good evening, brothers and sisters. I welcome you again to our broadcast here of a live service here with you as we're here gathered together on this Friday night to worship and glorify the Lord God Almighty. So I want to open up with a little bit of news here. We're looking at the 9th of December today. Wow, how this month already moving on by. We're going to be in a new year before you know it. Won't be long now till we're in 2023, or as someone said, 2023. Yeah, God's going to do some liberation this year, this coming year, and we give God the glory for that. Amen. If he's going to do some things for his people in the earth, I believe it will be mighty in the land, and that people will know Jesus did that. Hallelujah. All right, well, we're living in expectation. Well, let's have some news here. Kirk Cameron, for those of you who know who Kirk Cameron is, he requested that he would be allowed to do story time hour in libraries. But he was rejected by over 50 libraries. But, oh, they let the drag queens come. And Cameron wants to bring in something about family and a Christian book for children, and they reject that. That kind of story hour, they don't want it. In fact, one library in Rhode Island told him, we're a very queer-friendly library, and our ways don't necessarily align with you, you know, basically what he said, what they said. Our messaging doesn't align with your messaging. Well, Cameron told Fox News that he is being targeted. Well, maybe. They don't want to hear God. They want to hear perversion. So who's running the library today? Christian Seminary, Union Theological Seminary, or I could call it cemetery, pays homage to great Zen master by inviting Hindu monks to lead the worship there. Really? What kind of worship are they going to lead you into? Clearly not Jesus worship, something else. Same-sex couples' households in the United States exceeded 1 million for the first time ever, according to data touted by the U.S. Census Bureau. If that's true, well, I don't know, but that's what they say. For the first time in history, over 1 million households are... Yeah, and living in the manner of same-sex union. Well, in a message to the French New Age organization, Leaders for Peace, Pope Francis asked non-believers, which is the Leaders for Peace, he asked them to send him good vibes in lieu of prayers. Oh, just send me good vibes in lieu of your prayers, since you don't pray, so... Just send me your good vibes. Well, no, I'm sorry, I don't want your demons. But this Pope's already got so many, so it really doesn't matter if he picked up more. But this Pope's been busy affirming the faith of Joe Biden, saying that he would never refuse him communion, and that the so-called president's love for abortion is between him and God. Oh, well, that's not what the Bible says. While South Dakota Governor, again, Kristi Noem, is in the news, ordering her state to pull investments in Chinese companies. That's right. She said it is clear that China is the enemy of the United States, and we will not support them anyway. Well, good for her. You don't want to support that particular enemy. Not healthy. Virginia. Restaurant refuses service to a Christian group. They said, well, it could make the staff uncomfortable or it could make things unsafe. So they just refused to let a Christian group come in. Well, if it had been a homosexual group, surely they let them come in. So, yeah, so there's prejudice going on there. Now, Arizona governor-elect, who probably stole it, Katie Hobbs, her husband supports sex change on birth certificate for a trans child and is testifying in court for this 10-year-old. Well, Kerry Lake called the work of this governor-elect's husband sick and twisted. probably a very accurate statement, huh? And while we look across the globe to New Zealand, a couple there has their baby seized by the state because the parents refused a blood transfusion with blood that had been tainted with COVID-19 vaccine. The couple wanted only blood from an unvaccinated person. And so the government takes the four-month-old child from the parents over something like that. I think the parents have a choice whether they want to put vaccinated person's blood in their body or not, in their child's body or not. That's their child. And you've seen some of the things that are in the bodies of these people who have been vaccinated, these things that look like calamari, right? That's just awful. And pull them like rubber bands. I wouldn't blame the parents for not wanting that in their child's body. Well, the FDA approves an unpopular bivalent COVID shot for babies and encourages parents to get their child vaccinated before the holidays. Oh, get the little baby vaccinated. Really? Why would you do that? House passes bill to protect same-sex marriage as 39 Republicans join the Democrats in voting for this abomination. Wow. Well, there's a lot of nasty stuff going on there in this wicked world, and we need to pray against it. I pray today against all this nonsense and praying against the work of darkness in this world. And so we all need to stand and take our authority over this and see what God's going to do, because I believe he's going to do some mighty things in the days ahead. He's not going to be outdone by the devil. All right, we're going to go to prayer. But, I would just to mention this, too, as we go to prayer today, that dear brother, whose son was a deputy sheriff, a new deputy sheriff, actually, and his dad also was in law enforcement as well, and he got hit recently by a drunk driving woman who actually bragged about hitting a policeman, a cop. They called him other names, but and so they're going to jail, of course, hopefully for a long, long time for doing that and bragging about it. But we want to pray for this gentleman and his family, and that he will be able to just be ministered to continually by the Lord as he mourns his loss of his only child, and that the Lord would really minister to this man, because he is precious and a listener to the program here, to the broadcast. So let's pray. If we remember our brother and remember the family, as well as the other things that we're going to pray for as we open up the broadcast in prayer tonight. Hallelujah. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Oh, dear Lord, we know that so many are faced with so many things in this world, but this is just a very, very challenging thing to be faced with. But Lord, we pray you minister to this dear brother who lost his son in a senseless attack of the enemy. And we rebuke the devil for doing this and being able to get away with it. We rebuke him for that in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask that you would minister to the whole family, Lord, the mom, the dad, all those involved, the grandpa, everyone that has been touched by this tragic situation, Father, that you administer to them by the power of your Spirit, because you love every one of them. And we understand that he was born again, so he's with Jesus. He's not suffering, but the people left behind are the ones that suffer the loss of a dear one like that, with his whole life to live before him, so young, just starting his first year as a police officer and in law enforcement. My, my, my. So, Lord, we just bring it before you and trust you for your ministering spirit to minister, the angels of the Lord to minister to family, the Holy Spirit to comfort them all, and bring them through this as they come out on the other side, Father. We give you the glory for that in Jesus' name, Lord. And we pray for others who may have lost loved ones recently, that you would comfort them and encourage them as well, Father, in Jesus' name. Pray for those that have been sick. We rebuke the sickness on their body of it. gotten several reports this week of people who've been sick, and very difficult for them. And we rebuke that sickness. We rebuke it, command it to go from their body in Jesus' name, and their body to be recovered and recover all that the enemy has stolen from them. In Jesus' name, they get back all that the enemy stole. And their health will be fully restored in the name of Jesus. We thank you for that as well. We give you the glory for that. We give you the praise for that. Hallelujah. We rebuke sickness and disease, and we cover ourselves with the blood. And thank you for healing and health, that we will walk in health and healing. In Jesus' name, we pray a hedge of protection around every listener, Father, in the name of Jesus, that the angel of the Lord would protect them from all evil, from accidents and different attacks of the enemy. In Jesus' name, we pray for that. And Lord, we also pray, Lord, for help for all these that are being persecuted right now and dying, and for their faith in Nigeria and other countries that where they're giving their life as martyrs for their faith in Christ Jesus. Pray that if I come to America, that we will be strong enough to stand up for Jesus no matter what, and even if necessary, at that time, give our lives rather than renounce the Lord. And I know there are people out there that if they could get away with it, they would kill all the Christians right now because they're possessed by devils and controlled by devils. But we thank you that they're not going to be able to do that in this nation. We rebuke that. We thank you that, Lord, that you will prevail on the side of the righteous, Father, that you would protect your little ones. Each one of us are precious to you, Lord. And we ask your divine protection over each of us. In Jesus' name, and Lord, we cover this time that we have together in the word and prayer tonight. We cover it with the blood of Jesus. Cover every listener with the blood of Jesus. Cover their families with the blood of Jesus. But we pray protection for every family in Jesus' name, that nothing evil will befall them. We rebuke this of what the enemy is trying to do. I've heard so many stories in recent times of things that have been going on against believers today. And we just rebuke the devil. You not have God's people in Jesus' name. And so in Jesus' name, we thank you for blessing the message tonight and the deliverance and everything else that takes place here. Ask your blessing on it. Ask you to minister to every listener tonight and those who listen later as well. And we appreciate what you're doing in our lives. We know that you're working in us in spite of all that's going on in the world, Lord. You're working mightily in your children. We appreciate that so much, Lord, and give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Amen, 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 amen. All right, let's go ahead and get into the word tonight and be encouraged in the Lord because he loves you and he's always going to be with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. The Bible that we're going to talk about from the Word of God tonight, from the Bible, is living above it or rising above it. Amen. You're welcome. Praise the Lord. Rising above it, okay? Rise above it. So we and many others have been going through a lot, through a time that the enemy has been attacking many people, their bodies for one thing, to see what he can put on their bodies and get away with, but not just on the bodies, but finances and mental and spiritual health, and families are attacked, and accidents, and he's just trying to get away with whatever he can get away with, but we rebuke him for it in Jesus' name. And how many of you like to be sick? I don't know about you, but I don't like to be sick. How many think God is allowing you to be sick to punish you, that you did something wrong? Well, I'm not here to tell you that's just not true. Okay, but I think it's high time that we as believers decide if God's word is true. And if it is true, then we're going to have to begin to live as if it is true and not according to our senses. Not according to lies of the devil. You know, since rural Christians say, well, I'm taking a cold because I feel like it. This is happening because you feel like it? Well, I don't feel good, so I'm sick. The runny nose, the sore throat, the fever might be all there, but these are only what your senses are telling you. We're going to have to refuse to accept only what the senses say. That's right. Refuse it. Instead, we need to accept God's word over the senses. You know, when you acknowledge a sickness in your body, then that we are taking a flu, we are signing for the package, right? I'm not taking a flu, okay? I'm not taking a cold. I'm not taking, you know, these things. You know, I'm taking my health and I'm taking my healing according to God's word, okay? Not that I'm denying a thing, but I'm denying the thing, the right to exist in me, okay? You know, it may have attacked me, but I'm not going to deny that I maybe don't feel well if I'm getting attacked by something, but I'm going to deny it the right to continue its attack against me. And that could go just not for sickness, but many things, okay? Many things. Maybe you're being attacked in your mind right now. It's a mental attack. It just seems overwhelming. Well, you've got to deny that attack upon your mind, the right to continue against you. Look, hear what it says in 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Well, as he is, well, how is he? Well, he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Right? And then we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so we're there too. How many believe Jesus was sick when he was on the earth? How many believe he's sick now? You believe Jesus is up there just blowing his nose and coughing and hacking away with some kind of sickness? Come on now. We know that isn't true. And the Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world now. Oh, Pastor, that's just so hard to grasp. I mean, you know, I have a hard time with that, Pastor. Come on now. Why is that so hard to grasp? It's the word of God. You know, I'll tell you why, though, because we are so programmed to thinking in the natural, so programmed to thinking so involved with thinking in the lies. We got to have that bear. We got to have the Anderson, the contact, the Vicks. You simply know that it's cold and flu season. You better have your flu shot. You better get your cold medicine. You better get your COVID booster shot. Oh, my, you know, there's going to be another round of COVID. Oh my, it's going to be this, that, the other, and lies, lies, lies. See, the world all around us has programmed us to be a part of it and accept all that it accepts. Well, you listen to me. I'm not a part of this world system. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world, so I'm not going to think like they think. I'm not going to act like they act. And you have to decide whether you're going to act like they act, and you're going to go with the same agenda they have, or you're going to live to the drumbeat of a different drummer, right? We're going to learn to live in the kingdom like a kingdom child today. Hey, everybody gets attacked with something in this life, and sometimes a horrible attack. You know, I've buried people that I just prayed for them and didn't want to see them die. You know, but see, I don't know everything. And it's been hard to be by the bedside of a number of people that I loved and that have been part of our churches over the years. And it's just difficult. But, you know, I just know where they're going to be. And I know that we're crying inside, right? And we don't want to lose them. We love them. But they're in a better place. Thank God they don't have to go through everything that they're going to have to go through in this life. You know, they're going to miss out on that. They're with Jesus. And we'll join them someday. If we stay right with the Lord, I mean, we're going to join them, right? We don't want to let the devil give us thoughts that would pull us away. We want to let the Holy Spirit minister to us, right, and encourage us and strengthen us. But, you know, a lot of people today, have been programmed. And it's like if you don't live like the world and think like they do, you won't be accepted. You're not part of us. Well, who wants to be part of the bunch that's going to hell anyway? Really, I'm a part of the bunch that's going to eternally be with Jesus forever. I mean, that's right. We're not part of them, okay? And, of course, none of us like rejection. But, you know, you need to cast your lot in with Christians, not with the world. Hell, that's what a lot of Christians are doing, are casting their lot. They're trying to walk the fence. They're trying to be in the world and not of the world. It doesn't work. You know, God said and confessed about us that we are not of this world, John 17:16. Let's go over there. John 17:16. Got kicked out. Yeah. John 17:16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word sets us apart. You see that? We're not of the world. The world takes us and transforms us. I mean, the word takes us and transforms us out of the world. See? We're set apart, sanctified through his word, through his truth. So many Christians have so little of the truth. They have very little, you know, seemingly sanctification going on there, right? But if you're not of the world, then you don't have to live the way the world does, right? What? Not sure? Well, make up your mind tonight. What are you not sure about? See, the problem is this knowledge isn't real to many Christians today. This world is more real to them than God's world, which is the realm of the Spirit, where we're supposed to be living. Okay? In the realm of the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit. We're not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We'll not be controlled by the lust of the flesh. We'll not be controlled by the things of the flesh. You know, I know people who just every night stay awake at night, almost every night, for just worried and or in fear or trouble about this or trouble about that. You know, when something bothers me and I'm in bed, you know what I do? And it may be battle sometimes for me. It has been. I will just cast that thing on the Lord over and over and over, and I finally get a release, and I know it's gone, and I know I'm not carrying that anymore. I don't have to worry about it. Don't have to stay up. Don't have to lose any sleep over it. Huh? Right. But I know that Christians, that they don't do that. But why did Jesus say to cast all your cares on me, for I care for you? Why would he tell you to do that if it wasn't possible to do that? It is possible. I've done it many times. You know, the cares of people, the cares of the churches over the years, and all the different cares of life and family. And you know, I have things that, you know, are troubling. Even Paul said the cares of all the churches, right, that he had to deal with. I cast them on the Lord until I release them. And that may take 100 times. It may take 5 times. It just depends on the situation. But the fact of the matter is, it can be done, and they don't have to stay up all night worrying about this and in fear and troubled about all these things. Why go to bed with that and hold on to it all night? Yeah, it's just not real to a lot of Christians. You know, the knowledge of the word isn't real to many Christians. It's sad. I mean, God, you know, God's world is the realm of the Spirit, and we need to be aware of that more than we are the world. We're supposed to live in the realm of the Spirit. There are two things we're going to have to do to get out of living in the realm of this world, which, of course, is simply a temporary reality, right? It's only temporal. It's passing away. The world and the fashion thereof, it passes away. It's often a false reality, too, not just a temporary reality. It's a lie reality, full of lies and deception. That's what the world is full of, because Satan, the god of this world, he's a liar. Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Amen. Die to this world system and its programming, its mind control, its hold that it has upon people. By the way, remember, who is the God of this world? Satan is the God of this world. We don't bow to him. So if you're allowing yourself to be ruled by your senses and that alone, Satan has a right to put stuff on you and you will accept them because you're more controlled by your senses than you are controlled by the Holy Spirit. Right? Think about that. Think about that, folks. Who's controlling you? What's controlling you? See, living in the senses is living worldly. Have a world consciousness, see, because it's sense-controlled. Living by the senses will cause you to compromise, okay? Because the sense feel this, the senses feel this, the sense want that. Give me this, give me that next cigarette, give me that drink of alcohol, give me that whatever. But living in the spirit is like is living above, like I said many times, living above the snake line, you know? Living above the snake line. There's a level of height you could get to, an altitude that you can go to where the snakes don't live there anymore. You go up high enough, there's no more serpent. You come up high enough in God, the devil isn't prevailing. He's not winning. He's losing. Okay? Yeah, it's a place where, you know, God is. He's above the snake line. The devil doesn't threaten him. There's no sickness, no poverty, no defeat to Jesus. Right? So, die to this world system and its program. Number two is 1 John 5:4. Let's go back to 1 John here. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. God has given us faith, the measure of faith. It's up to us what we do with the faith. Faith cometh by hearing by the word. Your faith should grow tonight. And cometh by hearing, you're hearing the word. Overcometh the world. When it says this is the victory that overcometh the world, this is the victory that overcometh the devil. We could put his name in there because the devil is the god of this world. So number two is you must live by faith to overcome the world and the devil. Only through Jesus. Faith can walk above the lies. Faith can walk above the various situations and circumstances of life. Only by faith can you call things that are not as though they are. God's truths are greater than the devil's temporary lies, which may be a form of truth, but they're only temporal, so they're not really the truth, see? The devil will tell you, well, you're going to die of this, that, the other, and it could be a truth in the temporal realm, but it doesn't have to be true in God's realm. You'll overcome the programming of this world system by accepting a higher programming, a higher truth. There's a higher truth than the devil's truth and his lies that are, you know, the truths that are half truth. The ultimate truth is God's word, folks. And you can hear this, but still not hear this. This is the problem with so many believers today. They hear it, but they still don't hear it. And this is one of the problems people have who smoke but won't quit. That's right. They think they cannot quit. They hear, but they do not hear. They hear, but they do not hear. Well, they hear their cigarettes or their chewing tobacco or their cigar or pipe or whatever. They hear that crying out to them, yeah, please smoke me, chew me. Yeah, they hear it. And what one deliverance minister believes is that the smoking is just any addiction is out of a need to be loved. They don't feel that they're loved. That's why they have the addiction. That's what it is. Addiction comes because they don't feel that they're loved. Well, I can agree with that to many degrees there. And other people say smoking is just self-nurturing because they do it with their mouth. This person said too, they have to use their mouth, and their mouth is their zone, see? Yeah, that's right. It's nothing to do with nicotine. It's what hits the lips for nurturing, this deliverance minister said. It hits their lips, so they smoke. I mean, you could put something else in your mouth all the time. It doesn't have to be tobacco. That's right. Yeah, this guy says you should put a Binky, get a Binky or a pacifier. And it's fashionable nowadays. So, hey, because they put sugar in them and candy on them and different things. But then you get addicted to sugar. See, that's another addiction, too, that, you know, people have been alcoholics, you know, they start eating a lot of sugar. They might lay down the alcohol, but they take sugar, and that's the same thing as drinking, right? But, yeah, people want nurturing because they don't feel loved. And nurturing is needed. It's driven by the need to be loved, to feel loved. And so the sucking reflex, touching the lips, that's why a lot of people eat too much. Because a lot of people, you know, overeat because, you know, of the nurturing effect there. It ministers to them. They feel something warm inside. And a lot of rejected people are feeling unloved person. They eat too much because the food ministers to them. See? But, of course, this is nothing but, you know, spiritual deception of the enemy because you're never going to find love in a cigarette. You're never going to find love in alcohol. You're never going to find love in any kind of addiction, whether it be sexual addiction, physical addiction, tobacco addiction, you know, whatever kind of addiction it is. Yeah. That's right. Them cigarettes talking loud to them because their lack of love is talking loud to them. And that cigarette talks louder than truth and more clearly than truth, than the word and Jesus. I can't imagine Jesus going just riding up on a donkey to share the gospel with everybody with a pack of Marlboros in his pocket and a Marlboro hanging out of his lips. Can you imagine that? He didn't need love. He had love. He was love. He is love. He didn't need his lips to be nurtured that way. If, you know. They haven't really truly heard his freedom that he offers. Cigarettes bring a fog into the mind to boggle up things of pure truth. And they don't send one to hell. I mean, you could be a Christian and smoke, but why would you want to be? Excuse me. But cigarettes do hinder and cloud the mind. It is as if you're trying to see through a fog, through smoke, you know, a smoke screen, so to speak. You know, in war, if you want to black a person's vision off and view, they set off a smoke grenade, right? I mean, a smoke bomb. They let off smoke. And cigarettes, I believe, are simply a smoke bomb. They're a hindrance to you. And so you're saved and born again, but the smoke is blocking something. It's blocking some things in your life. And why do you want to keep doing that? What's the point? What is it accomplishing in your life? It might be blocking your ability to see and hear what the Lord wants to show you and see and hear your freedom from tobacco. Again, I used to smoke when I first got born again, so I could talk about it. I got free from it. And I heard and I saw my freedom, and Jesus, I saw him, you know, so through him I quit. His power, his truth, himself, through him I quit. And you can too. You don't have to be bound by anything the rest of your life, but a lot of Christians choose to be. Yeah. They choose to pick up that next cigarette, put it in their mouth. They choose to take that drink of alcohol or smoke that joint or go and look at pornography. That's an addiction, too, for many people. And it's all, according to this deliverance ministry, it's all out of a need to be loved because you don't feel that you're loved. Now, that may be true. It's certainly part of it. I would not doubt that at all. But there's more factors involved, too, that I think, too. But still, I'm not going to disagree with him. There's truth there. Okay? So, his power, his truth is more than enough to deliver you, but you've got to believe it. You've got to embrace it. You've got to rise above it. That it can be your cigarette addiction or what, that food addiction, that sugar addiction, whatever it may be. See, I'm no better than any of you listening to me. And if I could do all things through Christ, guess what? You could do all things through Christ who strengthens you too. That's right. I remember I lost that, and I didn't even know the Lord, and it was tough. I lost my stepsister, when I was young, she died of leukemia. And I remember she just was so afraid, and I wasn't a Christian at the time. I was just a kid, a child, and I didn't know how to help her, but I watched her as she suffered, and as she so wanted to live as a teenager that she died. And it was tragic. It was tragic. Oh, that I would have known the power of God to go lay hands on her and cast out that leukemia spirit. Oh, that I would have known how to pray for this young woman, right in the prime of her teenage years. I think she was 16 or 17 when she passed. And she didn't know the Lord Jesus either, as far as I know. And that's just, I mean, that's something that I so had wished that I had been born again at the time, and I could have seen her born again, so she would be in eternity. It's tragic that we'll never see her in eternity, most likely. So anyway, that's a sad story, and oh, that we would know. Oh, that we would be able to share Jesus with those who don't know him, and they may really put us off, and we may not want to share nothing with them, but they need him. They're going to be in eternity, eternally damned otherwise. Amen. It's sad. But anyway, I'm no better than you, and if I could do all things through Christ, so can you. But you got to hear it. You got to have ears to hear. You know, you say, well, I hear things spiritually. Well, maybe you do, but the fog gets in the way from the tobacco fog. It gets in the way. It's a hindrance to your spirituality. Okay, and you might not like to hear that. If you're a smoker, I've been a smoker. I've been there. As a new Christian, I smoked till I got delivered from it, free from it. And so, yeah, hey, hear your liberty. Hear your life without cigarette. Begin to have a picture of yourself without cigarette. See it in the spirit. Let Jesus show you a picture of yourself without smoking in your life, without having all that bondage. I just use smoking as an example, but it's true of sexual sin. It's true of pornography. It's true of complaining and murmuring all the time. It's true of gossiping, addiction to gossiping about people. It's true of masturbation. It's true of other addictions like food. See, you've got to hear your liberation. You've got to hear it with the ears of the Spirit. So many Christians are dull of hearing today. Same with the bondage to sugar and sweets and addictions of all kinds. See, Caleb, you know, and Joshua heard, but most of Israel didn't hear. He said, we're well able to overcome these giants in the land, and they're not intimidating me. Israel said, we're just like grasshoppers in their eyes, and they're too big for us, too strong for us. They're giants in the land. Yeah, well, that's the way a lot of people are whining about their addictions today. Huh? Cigarette, porno, giants too big for many, you know, overeating all the time, have no control over your diet, your weight. The overeating, very likely out of feeling warm inside and the feeling that ministers to you because you want to be loved. 2 Peter 2:19, I've taught that before I ever heard this guy say anything about this. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, the same is he brought in bondage. So whatever you're overcome by, you're bought into bondage to it. That's what the word says. If you're overcome by a cigarette, you're in bondage to that cigarette. If you're overcome by alcohol and you can't help your drinking, you've been overcome and you're in bondage to that alcohol. You're overcome by pornography, you know. If you're overcome by a bad temper, you're just habitually angry all the time. Huh? You hear what I'm talking about here? Whatever you're overcome by, you're in bondage to it. Thus, the overcoming factor, you know. The overcoming factor has spoken louder than truth. See? if you're overcome by the tobacco is speaking louder than the truth, because there's no reason you can't overcome that tobacco. Okay? In Christ Jesus, all things are possible to him that believes. See, you don't believe enough. See, you don't really want to get rid of it that much, because it's nurturing to you, as this guy said. Nurturing to you, you're touching it in your lips, and you might as well have a pacifier in there then. At least it wouldn't be destroying your body and making you, you know, your body subject to disease, more prone towards a number of things from smoking. Okay? So, the lies also of this world have been successful in many Christians' lives. The false program has been successful in so many Christians' lives. Remember, when I say the programming of this age, I speak of Satan's lies, because all that we're told from birth till we get born again have been laced with Satan's lies and deception, every bit of it that we've heard, laced with it. And all of us have some of it still, that we are needing a reprogramming process to take place, a renewing of the mind, okay? And to make it worse, many of us also had a religious programming, which is full of lies, religious lies, which are even harder to get rid of sometimes for some people, because, you know, we'll have to overcome or cast out those religious spirits, that religious programming that we were raised in. I had some religious programming when I was young and a child. I didn't know Jesus at all, though. I had some religious programming, and it was disgusting, not according to the Word of God. But still, at least I learned some of the Bible, but still, it was I never got born again. There was never an encounter with Jesus. As far as a born again experience, that's 1 John 5:18. Let's go there. And we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but that he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. What is that about? Well, it's about that our spirit is born of God. And the spirit doesn't sin, but the body will. And the mind will. But I believe this means you keep yourself in the spirit, though. You guard yourself. You keep yourself from joining yourself to the world spiritually. But you live in the spirit, where the evil one can't harm you. See, to abide in Christ is to abide in security. I'm secure in Christ today. Are you? If not, you need to become secure in Christ. You need to know that you're secure. If you're not born again, get born again. Ask Jesus into your heart right now. Don't wait. Ask him into your spirit to come and live and abide there, and confess him as God and confess your sins, and he forgives you and cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Right? Repent for those sins. Right? Turn away from them. See, if we be honest, when we allow ourselves to again to come under the rulership of the senses, you know, we aren't very spiritual then. And this is where selfishness comes in. Pride and feeling sorry for ourselves. Gossip and all kinds of fleshly things. Not much victory in a sense-ruled life. Let's just face it. If you live in a sense-ruled life by your five senses, there's not much victory in that kind of life. What does it say in Jude 21? It says, to keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So you gotta say, where am I? Am I in the love of God? Obviously not, because you don't believe it, or you wouldn't be self-nurturing your lips with food or tobacco or something, right? We could say other things, but we won't. But still, keep yourself in the love of God. So where are you when you keep yourself in the love of God? Where are you? Well, you're in the Spirit, because love is the primary fruit of the Spirit, which you can't walk in unless you're walking in the Spirit. See? Because love is found in the Spirit. It's not found in this world. You're not going to find the pure, unadulterated Zoe, perfect, agape love of God, right? You're not going to find it in this world system. You're going to only find that in the Spirit. God is the Spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. You know where it's at. It's in the Spirit. You're not going to find it in a package of Salem or Winston-Salem or Marlboro or whatever. It's in the Spirit. Love love is the primary fruit of the Spirit, which you can't walk in unless you are walking in the Spirit and you're attached to the vine. Jesus is the vine. You're the branches. He has the fruit of the Spirit is growing off of Jesus, off the Holy Spirit within us, if we'll allow that to take place. But have you ever allowed the Holy Spirit in you to just love you? Or is that a foreign concept to you? Do you have so much fog in there, the love can't get through the fog? So many demons in the way? Come on, have you let the Holy Spirit just love on you? Maybe you need to let him just love on you. He says he's the comforter too, right? Maybe we need to let the Holy Spirit just comfort you. We all need comfort at times in life. And if we don't let the Holy Spirit comfort us, then the comforter is not allowed to do his job, what he does. He is the comforter. You need comfort. I need comfort. We all need comfort. Okay? So let's receive it. Let's learn to receive it. Let's get rid of this blockage. Hallelujah. So let me say this. If you will continue to force yourself to walk and live in the Spirit, you will overcome this world system. I remember one time I took something back to the store, and God had told me in my spirit that morning in my prayer time that they would take it back. But the pawn shop said that they had signed up and said, we only refund money if it's broken. Well, I went in there and stood before the man, and I said, it's not broken. We just don't want it. He said, too bad, you bought it. I said, I kept standing there, and he turned around, went to the cash register, got the money out, and handed it to me. Hallelujah. See, that's how things work in the Spirit. They don't even know why they do the things they do sometimes. But the Lord told me I was going to get that money back. And he said to take it back. Well, how did that happen? Because in the Spirit, I'd already received my answer. In the Spirit, I'd already received that money. It was back in my pocket. See? Even though he said he wouldn't do it, he did it. Right? Isn't that the way things work, though, in the Spirit? The devil sit there and say, you're not going to get that. That's not going to happen to you. No way. I'm not going to let that happen. And then it happened because, you know, God's bigger than the devil. See, why is that? Because the realm of God's Spirit is greater and more powerful than the realm of this world. And we need to make sure we're living in the realm of God instead of the realm of this world. We need to make that our habitation and quit making this world our home. It's not our home. We are passing through, strangers and sojourners, but we take authority as we walk through wherever we are, that the soles of our feet touch. We can take possession of that. We can take authority over it. Darkness can't prevail against the light where the light is manifested, and the light is manifesting, and we allow it to be manifesting in our lives. See, the problem with too many Christians today is they don't manifest the light. They live in the system of darkness, and they try to fix problems created by the darkness with the darkness, and it isn't going to be fixed with the darkness. It's not going to be fixed with a lie of Satan. See, people are living with the darkness and living with a lie, and they don't have to do that. But as a believer in Christ Jesus, you don't have to do that. And things don't get fixed that way. Satan cannot cast out Satan. Jesus said that in the Word of God. He said Satan cannot cast out Satan. So what are you doing trying to take the world system, trying to fix things that are caused by the world system of darkness? It isn't going to happen that way. See? Light was applied in my prayers that morning before I even went to that pawn shop, right, to take that thing back. See? That's right. So I came in there with the light on me, and that person couldn't help but respond to the light. They had to do what the light wanted. See, light defeated the darkness in a simple situation, and I was not robbed of my money. See? And you might be of the light, but you just don't tap in to the light. You don't apply the light. You know, you may be born again. You might have the light living in you, but you're not applying the light. You don't live in and from the light that's in your spirit, the light that's in your life. In the darkness of this world of lies, you respond more to the world of lies or the world of the darkness than you do to the light that's living in your spirit. See, to have the light is one thing, but to live in and from the light is another thing altogether. Hallelujah. See, Israel had the light, but Caleb lived in the light. See, yeah, we're well able to go up and take the land. And they all said, no way, there's giants in the land, and we're like grasshoppers. That's the way they saw themselves. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. Fear had a hold of them. The darkness had a hold of them. Yeah, but Caleb, he functioned from the light. He lived in the light. See, Israel would not do it, though. They were clouded by the darkness and the lies. So their vision was blocked, and their vision was stunted and you know, hindered. Demons do that, folks. They do it to Christians every day, and Christians willfully go with the program. Need to stop going with the devil's program, folks. Need to go with the program of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to go with the program of God. Stop going with the devil's program. It's time to remove these devils from our minds and our bodies. Remove them. Time to let them work no more on us. Say, no more devil. Just say it out loud. No more devil. No more devil. You're not doing this no more. I refuse to put up with it anymore. Refuse. You got to get determined with a holy determination from heaven. If anything's ever going to change in your life, there's got to be a holy determination it's going to change. You know, just put up with it now. No, don't just put up with it. Say, no more devil. See, we're supposed to be on the pathway of truth and light and life. Why are you letting yourself be rerouted by devil to a pathway of darkness and lies? Why would you, a believer, let that happen? Well, we're all taken off guard sometimes. We all get attacked. Yeah. We can make up our excuses. But you will have to war to walk in the light and the truth. You have to war to, you know, the enemy will prevail if you don't war against him. It's a kind of war many are not familiar with. And yet there's more to war than just rebuking the devil. There's the war of embracing the truth and rejecting the lies. You have to war to embrace truth in this world because the devil is the father of lies. He's always bringing lies at you. I mean, it's war to walk in the truth and to step out of the illusion and the illusions that are all around us, right? The falseness of one's present reality created and maintained by evil spirits and the society at large. That's not my reality. You will not determine my reality, devil. Jesus is going to determine my reality. He has determined my reality. He has determined what I will walk in if I choose to walk in it. Or you could choose the world, and you could choose the lies. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that's in your spirit than he that is in your, even in your mind, will, and emotions. See? The spirit man needs to be the ruler. Jesus is in the spirit. So the Holy Spirit needs to be the ruler. See, you're of God. That's the truth here. It says, you're of God, little children. But you got to get that down first. A lot of people never got that down. That's why they're still sucking on a cigarette. They don't believe they're really of God. They don't believe that God really loves them. They don't believe that they're really accepted in the beloved. They don't believe their position that they have in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus right now, even on the earth, the position that they have in Jesus. They don't believe it. So they speak negative like we talked about last week. They're talking garbage with their mouth, and they're snaring themselves and putting themselves in traps by their own mouth. And they're doing things that are not best for their body. But see, we are of God, little children. We're born of him. You're of the spirit realm. Because they that come to God must worship him in spirit and truth. We are of God, little children. Verse 5, they are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. So that's what they are. That's not us, though. That's they. That's them. But ye are of God, little children. They are of the world. Ye are of God, little children. They are of the world. Them are of the world, not us. That's not talking about you. See, the world heareth the lies. See, that's what they hear. And the world speaks the lies. And other people believe the lie because they're of the world, and the world hears themselves. And they'll be received. The lies are received, see? What does it say? They're of the world, therefore speak they of the world. The lies, they're of the lie, therefore they speak the lies. And the lies heareth them, see? Because they believe the lie too, see? That's all three lies there, you see? The whole thing's a lie. See, the world heareth them. Oh, they hear the Vicks commercials and the pharmaceutical commercials and all these other things, but you're not of the world. Why are you listening to them? Quit talking world talk and talk spirit talk. Stop it. What are you got coming out of your mouth? What do you have? See, they can't talk the talk we talk because they don't have the talk we have. But not all Christians are talking the talk they ought to be talking. The Bible says in verse 6 here, 1 John 4:6, that we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that's not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. See? There's a spirit of error out there, the spirit of the lie. We know we have to have the discernment about that. We have to have understanding. See, what we say, the world may think it's stupid. You know, foolishness to them. They don't hear us. They don't hear God talk. They don't hear the talking of the Lord that we hear. You know, they don't understand us. See? Quit talking world talk and talk the spirit talk. That's what you got to transform your language. See? Christian can be in a conversation about the things of the spirit, talking with you ever done that in front of an unbeliever? Talking with another Christian, just communing about the things of the spirit, and it's to those people, those unbelievers, it's like a foreign language to them. Why? Because we're born from above. We're above it. We're above them. They're beneath. They're from beneath. Why compromise to live at a level below your calling? You're an alien to this age. But really, we're far above. You're the healed. Oh, come on, go to the doctor. What's wrong with you saying you're healed? You're prosperous. Why? Let's look at you. Don't have nothing. What are you doing? The Bible says to call things that are not as though they are. So quit believing that the world, you know, what the world does and believes spirit and life instead. Believe spirit and life. Exodus 15:26, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. 1 John 2:24, by whose stripes ye were healed. Right? John 6:63, let's go over there. John 6:63. It says here, it is the spirit that quickeneth or maketh alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You hear that? Did you hear that? That's a powerful word, folks. We could paraphrase it this way. The spirit makes alive. Living in the senses profiteth nothing. The words that Jesus speaks to you are spiritual and will keep you in the spirit and in life, which includes all the blessings of his life, health, prosperity, and victory, including all spiritual and heavenly blessings. Hallelujah, I believe it. But what we got here? We got some Christians that get dulled and dull of hearing. Why do they get dull of hearing? Well, we talked about the cigarette, the fog, but it's also their sins are allowed to, by them, to do that to them. And most people have some big sin or two that maybe they're still, doing them, committing them, right? But that stand out in their mind. They feel the pain of it still. But let me ask you, who's putting the sting there? Who's putting the pain there? Now, God, the Holy Spirit, will convict you of your sin. He's not causing you the pain of it. The devil will cause you the pain of it. And I'm here to tell you that it's not God. I mean, how does God do it? Well, the Bible says, correct us through the Word. 2 Timothy tells us the Word of God is for. Let's go read it. Get it down here from the Word. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So God corrects with his word. You know, that sickness that didn't come from God. oh, God correcting me. That's why I got that cancer. You know, God correcting me. I sinned. Now, that's not true. The devil is the author of sickness and death. The devil is the author of cancer. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God doesn't have anything to do with that. That's right. You got to understand that. And you say, well, all hell on earth broke loose on me. That's right. Well, that can happen when you're in Satan's territory. When you're out of the will of God, Satan is there. But God's not doing it. God's not doing it. You put yourself in that position. He didn't put you there. Okay? No, no. But God could use the word to correct you. Right? After you use the rod on the child is so submissive and loving and obedient. Well, it's the same with the word. When the Lord chastises with the word, the correction of the word, right? The rod will do what the word will do, or the word will do what the rod will do. Right? That's right. And a lot of times we need that correction with the word, to allow the word to just correct us and straighten us up, because we've been in rebellion. We've been rebelling against the things of the Spirit. We've been embracing the world. We will be corrected. Yeah. And if we endure the chastening, God deals with you as with sons. But what do you do after the correcting? Well, it says in verse 12 of Hebrews 12, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. See, this is what needs to take place. When you've been corrected, you need to be, let it be healed. A lot of people won't let it be healed. A lot of people won't let it be healed. You hear it? They wallow. They wallow in something. What are you wallowing in today? You've had some correction. Now you're wallowing. Instead of lifting up the hands which have been drooping down, hanging down, and worshiping God, and getting the, you know, making straight paths for your feet, instead of zigzagging around, instead of staying on the straight and narrow, you get, you know, you're zigzagging here and there and everywhere and all over the place. The devil's got you wandering. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let the lame part of you be healed. Let Jesus bring the healing for the lame part of your mind, the lame part of your emotions, the lame part where the devil's been able to work on you and you received his working. See? Some Christians are still moping around because they were corrected. Something happened. But you need to stop that. Lift up those hands that droop down. Start worshiping God again and go on. You know? Yeah. God will go on to someone else and use them. If you won't allow him to use you, why not let it be you that he uses? Right? I mean, why? Huh? Here, listen, verse 14 and 15, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and there might be many would be defiled. Looking diligently, lest any man fail. I mean, you're guarding yourself to stay in the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness come in there and poison your whole life and others around you too. Because it'll spring up before you know it. It'll spring up and trouble you. You see that? It's springing up. You know, average plant out there doesn't spring up. If you plant a plant out in your garden, it takes time, and you go out every day, and you're not going to see a lot of, you know, big springing up. But it's not true about a root of bitterness. It'll spring up and trouble you. You got to be on guard about that. You know, a lot of people are blaming God for things, and therefore they've got a root of bitterness, and God doesn't have anything to do with it. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, not God. God brings life. He doesn't bring death. And it's possible to fail of the grace of God. We saw that right here. You mope around. Pastor, I just can't forgive myself of that sin. I just can't forgive myself. You know, I had a sin like that that I did before I was saved years ago, and as a Christian for a number of years, that sin bothered me. How could I ever put that person through that? How could I ever have done that? How allowed that to happen? I mean, it just bothered me. But you know what? God forgave me, and I had to come to the place where I released that to God, and I just no more had that anymore. And I knew I was forgiven, and I've never been bothered about it anymore since, oh, I guess it was 15 years ago, something like that. Maybe more than that, 20 maybe. But it never bothered me now because God forgave me. He forgot about it. So why shouldn't I? I can remember things if I want to, but, you know, but people say, well, I just can't forgive myself. I just can't, I could have done this, should have done this, shouldn't have done that. Well, did God forgive you or not? Yes. Well, are you bigger than God? Did you want to hold on to and carry your feelings around and exalt them over the truth of the Word of God? Memories don't leave. You can remember that sin. You can remember your fault, your failures. You can remember what you had against someone, even though you've been forgiven. But the key is in Philippians 3:13, forgetting those things which lie behind and pressing on for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Are you forgetting those things, or are you still letting yourself be tormented with those things? And yeah, that is the coulda, shoulda, woulda. Yeah, that's what torments a lot of people. And they're living there in that place, and it's not a healthy place, I'm telling you. See, the real life is birthed and lived in from the spiritual, the third heaven, spiritual, a realm totally different from this realm. And God doesn't think like we think. He is not a man. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And when we go into his way, see, we're starting to live in the mysteries of the kingdom. See, because the realm of the truth is mysterious, see. It is a realm of mysteries and only revealed by the Spirit of God for those who really want to know things of the Spirit of God. So you don't just casually get the mysteries of God. You have to be hungry for them. They that hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled, not those who kind of just casually say, whatever, forget that. You're not going to partake of that. Casually, whatever it would be, it's not a big deal, you know. Well, no, it's a big deal to me to know the mysteries of the kingdom, and I've had many of them revealed to me, and I want more. Yeah. But I tell you what, there's no compromise or crossing over. The realm of truth is the opposite from the realm of lies. One is truth, the truth, and one is lies, the lie. The Bible, or the big truth, we call it the Bible, it's the big truth, or we can believe the big lie, which is Satan. Jesus is the big truth. What will you have? Which one? The problem is our mixtures. What do? We mix them. Satan mixed lies and truth together when he tempted Jesus, see? And he tempts us. Don't think that you're not exempt from that. Satan will mix lies and truths when he brings a little subtle thought into your mind, and he'll start ministering to you with a mixture of lies and truth. And if you don't know the mystery, if you don't understand the tempter and how the enemy operates, and not that I'm beyond it. I've been tempted too, see? So I have to be on guard, and I have to keep my discernment going. Okay? We mix them. And we see it is his strategy to bring in a mixture into our lives, see? So we have to have discernment and ears to hear. This is where discernment and ears to hear come into play. If we sense a mixture, we must spit it out. Hit the reject button. Boom. Get rid of that. Spit it out. This is a big project. The lies are going to have to be routed out of our lives. And we need to find ourselves walking in the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, the full truth, not a mixture of the lies and the truth, as most Christians do. The Apostle John, he got it. He knew truth. He loved truth. He rejoiced in truth. And he respected and discerned truth in others. Let's go look at a couple of these scriptures in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Well, let's go to 3rd John 3. 3rd John 3. It says, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Do you hear what he's saying? They're not walking in a mixture. Truth is either truth or not truth. If truth has a mixture, it's polluted truth. If it's got lies mixed in with it, it's not pure truth. Therefore, it won't do what pure truth is designed to do. You understand me? Look at 2 John 1. "The elder unto the elect lady and her children whom I love in the truth, and not only I only, but also all they that have known the truth." See, there's a knowing the truth that recognize someone who knows truth too, see. And you recognize believers who don't know the pure truth too. In verse 3, "Grace be unto you." I mean, grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. In truth and love. See? Notice, grace, mercy, and peace can only be walked in their fullness through truth and love. Do you see that there in that verse? "Grace be with you. Mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love." That's how it comes. That's how the grace, the mercy, peace from the Father comes only in truth and love. It can only be what? Faith worketh by love. The Bible says that in 1 John, that faith worketh by love. So you see this here. You step over out of the world into truth and love. There's a richness of life there that can be experienced nowhere else. Grace, mercy, and peace are there to fill yourself with. Take your cup and fill it up and have a drink of grace, mercy, you know, and peace. They're there to fill yourself up with when you're in truth and love. When you step out of the lie, you cross over the darkness into the realm of life and light at the glorious liberty of the sons of God. This is now a now experience that only a now kind of faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? In Hebrews 11:1. That can take you into that. What are you waiting for? Hunger and thirst, and you will be filled, but you've got the hunger and thirst. If there's no hunger, there's no thirst, there's no filling. See, stuff can come against us in life. I've had so many things come against me in my lifetime. You have too. Stuff comes against if you're a Christian. And even if you're not a Christian, stuff will come against you, right? But hey, stuff comes against us. Sometimes terrible stuff. Even at unexpected times when we least expected us out of left field. But God always makes a way to rise above it. He always makes a way. There's always a way. You may not take that way, but that way will be available to you. Okay? You might have so much of your focus on what happened, the terrible thing, or the event, or the strife, or the difficulty in your marriage, whatever it may be. But will you rise above it? You can. That's a big question. Will you? I met so many that didn't, or should I say wouldn't. Huh? Yeah, I've met so many that wouldn't because they could. So I should say wouldn't. I know they didn't, but I should say they wouldn't, right? Some people wallow in their misery. And I've done it for a little while before in my lifetime. I have wallowed a little while, and then I realized what was going on, that the devil had me in his wallowing spirit was operating there, and I had to step out of that in Jesus' name by the power of the Spirit. And I haven't done that lately, but, I mean, it's something that you could, easily step over into and be in a trap and not even know it. I mean, we all have a choice. Everyone faces battles. Everyone faces a spiritual conflict. And I know not all know it's a spiritual attack. We don't always know it's a spiritual attack. Not everybody has that level of discernment to know that it's a spiritual attack. But now I'm suspicious of everything as being a spiritual attack because I've seen so much of it. So much of it. So I suspect anything as being a spiritual attack. Because there is a spiritual element and a spiritual reality, folks. And life has brought people a lot of hard knocks, hard attacks. And some people just think it's just life. No, it's not just life. Things don't just happen. I mean, people think that way, but it's not a reality. Is it a curse? Is it the place you live? I was somewhere this week, and I think it was the place I was at because I just suddenly stopped forgetting where I was putting. I put things somewhere there and couldn't remember where I put my keys. I couldn't remember where I put this tool. I couldn't remember this. And I said, what is going on? This is spiritual. See? Yeah, you sense it. In many cases. And I sense that this is spiritual. This is not just, you know, some little thing here going on. I'm forgetful. No, because I don't do that stuff normally. I have forgot where I put things before, like most anybody has done that. But you got to start asking yourself, what, is it a curse? Is it the place that I'm at? Is it the place I live? Is it the place that you have that you failed to anoint with oil and to drive the demons out? Did you anoint your car with oil? Is that why it broke down? Is it a familiar family line spirit? Or is it a curse? Is it the result of your own negative tongue? I mean, all things have a cause. Nothing just happens. And some things we may not know why they happen until Jesus comes. And we're not going to know something until eternity as much as we'd like to figure it out, as much as we just rack our minds trying to figure out why in the world did that happen. I mean, something happened just this week that just, you know, I just was sure that it wasn't going to happen, but it did happen because, you know, I needed to hear more from heaven on it, and I hadn't heard the whole thing. And people in their greed and under the control of demons made decisions that were ungodly and were dishonest and lying. But what do you expect out of lost people, you know? What do you expect? But, you know, we should wake up to the spiritual realms and become aware. Much can be prevented by binding and loosing. Seriously, God gave us the keys of the kingdom, folks. Do you believe that or not? Either you got to either realize that you have something that Jesus gave you that you can use, or you don't believe it. The keys of the kingdom, binding and loosing. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So much can be prevented by binding and loosing, by knowing spiritual principles and truths, by breaking things and not allowing them authority over you. But, you know, you can't cross a person's will. If a person have negative expectations, they may have to eat the fruit of their negative expectations, and there's nothing we can do about it sometimes. Oh, how I wish I could have, you know, saved my own two daughters from some of the problems they've had, but they wouldn't listen, see. I couldn't cross their will. They have a will. They have a choice. They're adult children. They make their own choices, And I could have saved them a lot of problems in life if they would listen, if they would get delivered from certain things and they would see things from my wisdom, right, which is the wisdom from above. But they got to learn their own way. How many of you had to learn things your own way and you didn't listen to wisdom from above sometimes? Or maybe you weren't even born again then, so you just did things your own way, didn't listen to anybody, and you learned the hard way. Yeah. So you can't cross a person's will. They're going to think negative. They're going to do negative things. They're going to reap the fruit of those things. They're going to eat the fruit of their own expectation. They're going to eat the fruit of their own negative talk and their own negative ways. And if they speak certain ways, they may receive certain ways in life. And even though you or I may pray for them And we may bring them some protection, but they've opened doors, and those doors may bring negative things to pass in spite of our prayers. And you know what I'm talking about. If you have children, you know what I'm talking about. Right? You wish you could save them going through some of the things you went through, but, you know, they know so much, right? But they don't. And I really think a lot of people don't know too much really till they are 40. But, yeah, they start really getting something. Some people don't know it at 80. I've met 80-year-olds that just don't know nothing. You'd think they had some wisdom by then. And then I've met some 30-year-olds that start they're knowing things, you know. And how do they know those things so soon? But anyway, I'm kind of just carrying on here. But I'm going to wind this up, you know. Got to wind this up. You got to let things go. You got to give them to Jesus. You got to let your children go. You got to give them to Jesus. He wouldn't even have them if he hadn't gave them to you, right? I got to realize that and remember that about mine. I wouldn't even have them if Jesus hadn't gave them to me to raise in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I did my, you know, my job. I didn't always do it good and perfect, but yeah. So as you develop discernment more and more, you will see more and you will understand more. And there are mysteries in this world and in the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of hell. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit will reveal them to those who desire the revelation knowledge and seek to know these things. The Bible says, seek and you will find. Ask and it shall be given. Knock and the door will be open. Have you really knocked? Have you really asked? Have you really sought them out aggressively and diligently? Well, if not, no wonder you remain in the dark. No wonder you remain ignorant, right? See, there's always more to know. There's always more revelation knowledge to be given by the Spirit of God. Again, it remains so true. My people perish because of a lack of knowledge, for lack of knowledge. That scripture, you know, I can never give you the full dimension of the meaning of that because I don't even know the full dimension of it, but it keeps expanding. The more I see in this world, the more I see Christians go through, the more troubles I see people have. I mean, really, how many people perish for a lack of knowledge? You may not die from a lack of knowledge. You may die from a lack of knowledge too, but they perish in one way, one area of their life or another. They're just on an ongoing perishing level in a certain area of their life. It's perishing. There's a perishing taking place. There's a perishing in their mind. There's a perishing in their physical body. There's a perishing, you know, in their relationship. There's a perishing in the way they see themselves. Why? Because it's a lack of knowledge. Jesus has given us all the knowledge. It's available through the Word of God and through the revelation that the Holy Spirit gives us when we're in the Word of God. It will all be revealed if you're hungry for it. How many are lazy in this area and will not seek the knowledge and the revelations of it? I dare say probably the majority of believers, I don't know, but many are. Those who hunger and thirst will be filled. Those who don't won't be filled. Do you hunger? Not really? Well, ask to be hungry and then step out in faith and be hungry. Be diligent. Be full of faith to receive more. More truth, more health in your body, more revelation, more supply, more abundance, more deliverance, more understanding. More love to be released into you from the Holy Spirit within. More victory. More peace. More truth. More of His presence. More discernment of spirits. More mysteries revealed. See, you can have as much as you want, even though it may be a battle to get it. It's up to you, beloved. It's up to you, beloved, I'm telling you. You could have as much of God as you want or as little of God as you want, and you're still going to be with Jesus forever. But you won't know Him very well when you get there, for some Christians, because they hadn't wanted very much of Him. They've been more in love with the world than they are with the Lord. And the Bible clearly tells us, love not the world. But it's up to you. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. So many Christians choose the world and Satan by default. No hunger. they choose Satan. Spiritually lazy, they choose the world. See, by default, when they're not walking in the one way, by default, they're choosing the other way. Ruled by circumstances, see, they come from the enemy. You choose life, you choose Jesus, you choose to walk in your authority. What are you going to choose today? You have a choice to make, my brothers and sisters, every day. It's up to you. You can let the devil have your mind, and he can take you to the lowest pits that he can take you into if you let him. Or you can let Jesus renew your mind through the Word of God, but you got to pick up the Word. You got to hear the Word. It doesn't just happen by default because you're doing nothing. You can't sit still in the kingdom. You try to sit still and not move ahead, then you're going to slip backwards. How many know that? If you stay out of the Word for 2 weeks, you're slipping back. You're not moving forward. You can't just sit still. Well, I'll just maintain it when I was at my top level. I just come out of this powerful service and I'm full. You can't stay there. It leaks. I mean, you know, you got to continually have the fresh manna. You know, that's why it came every day, but Saturday, right? It came every day of the week. The manna fell, and or the meat, the quail came. Yeah, hope you hear my heart. I love y'all. I want you to be full of him. I want you to be full of Jesus. I don't want the evil one to gain a foothold in your life in any way, shape, or form, especially if you've been through painful things lately. Difficult things. We all go through difficult things. I faced two very difficult things this week. And it may not be as bad as what some of you face. Certainly not the brother who lost his son. It's not like that, but it was difficult, nevertheless. And, I mean, I thought of my two daughters, imagining if I had lost one of them this week when I heard about the brother losing his son. I said, man, that's tough. And like I said, I've lost people I really love, like my own family and churches over the years. Yeah, I buried my mom. I lost my mom. I know how that is. I lost my dad, my grandparents. So I understand loss. And being a pastor, I've seen a lot of people die, and I've done a lot of funerals over the years. And I know one thing, though, that when they're born again, we see them again, and we have comfort, and we have joy, and they have joy that they don't have to deal with the devil anymore down here and the heartaches of life, because even, the, you know, everybody faces something in life, right? We all get attacked by the enemy. What we do with the attack, that matters. And, yeah, I know it hurts, and but you just can't let the devil build that hurt into something that it shouldn't be. See, that's the... There you got a guard, brother. I mean, he loves you, and he'll bring you through this, and he will gently walk you through, and he'll tenderly walk you through, but you got to lean on him with all your heart. That's the only answer. Lean on him and cast it on him, like I said, casting my cares on the Lord until I didn't carry them anymore, and that may be 100 times for you. It may be 1,000 times for you, but, you know, and I've done it until it released. But you certainly have my prayers, and I'm with you. And may the Lord encourage you, strengthen you. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for this word tonight, and thank you for encouraging people, and thank you for encouraging the brother who lost his son by a senseless attack of the enemy. But, Lord, we thank you that he's in your safety now and never to be attacked by the devil again. And we can't say that about ourselves yet, because we're still here in the nasty now fighting the good fight of faith and laying hold on eternal things as we walk this narrow path that you have us on, Lord. And I pray that you'll keep us on it. Pray for great grace on our lives, Father. Love and truth. You bring great peace. And we thank you for these things, Lord. We thank you that we have more than enough of you, Lord, if we'll just receive it, if we'll just be receivers Everybody say, I'm a receiver, Lord. That's right. We can receive our freedom. We can receive your love. We can truly know that we are loved. We don't have to suck on that cigarette. We don't have to suck on that alcohol. Don't have to take those drugs. No, we don't need that. We just need you, Lord. More of you. Give us great grace tonight, Lord. Get great grace and bring us through, Lord, all these battles, Lord, on the other side. Just like Paul said, you delivered me from them all. Face many, many tribulations in this world, but you delivered me from them all, Lord. We say the same thing. You will deliver us from them all, and we thank you that you do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We pray for lost loved ones here, too, tonight, for those that are not saved right now. You have a loved one. Put your hand on their picture right now as I pray. If you have a picture of them right now, we're going to pray for that loved one. In Jesus' name, we rebuke the devourer. We rebuke the devil off of this loved one that is lost, that has wandered from the way. Maybe they've backslidden. I don't know. But in the name of Jesus, we call them into the fold. You and your house will be saved. We claim that promise from the word. You and your whole house, just like that. That man in the that was the jailer, you and your house shall be saved. Well, you and your house shall be saved. It doesn't look possible to some of you. But in the name of Jesus, we call things that are not as though they are. We call them saved. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will put every opportunity possible in front of them to receive the Lord and come back to you or get born again for the first time. And in Jesus' name, and we rebuke the devil from blinding their eyes another moment. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke the blindness off of them. In the name of Jesus, eyes be open. In the name of Jesus, of these loved ones that you have your hands on their pictures tonight. And we claim them for the kingdom of God. North give up, south give up, east give up, west give up, those that are called to be sons and daughters of a living God. You got to give them up right now to the kingdom in Jesus' name. And we break the grip of darkness over their life and over their eyes and over their whole demeanor, that they will see the light and come crying out to God in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing our cry for the lost ones, the lost loved ones, the lost family members. In the name of Jesus tonight, thank you for it. Praise you for it, Lord God Almighty. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, praise God. We take a short little intermission here. We'll just come right back here and do some deliverance for a few minutes that we have remaining in tonight's live radio service here that we're having tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, we'll be right back. Now, this is a shorter song, so we won't have as long for the song. Let love touch your life. Amen. Let love touch your life. And love touches it. Jesus touches it, right? Because Jesus is love. Father God is love. Hallelujah. You know, there's a lot of things that I can't talk about. You know, being a pastor and people just ask me not to share things. But I know intimate things about many people that are just, you know, tragedies that they dealt with and dealing with. And that they ask me not to talk. So I just have to pray for them. It's a tragic world out there, man. The devil is the devil. And he's doing a lot of damage to a lot of things. You know, that's what he does. He steals, kills, and destroys. So, but praise God, we overcome through the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I appreciate that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Well, let's do a little bit of deliverance here before we run out of time here. But, lest we be overcome by sorrow, let's command that spirit to go. Spirit of sorrow, come out in Jesus' name. Go, 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 all the way out. All the way out. The blood of Jesus, all that sorrow, come out. Some people are overwhelmed by sorrow, overcome by sorrow at times in life. We command that spirit to go. In Jesus' name, the spirit of sorrow, go. In Jesus' name, the spirit of mourning, come out. It's okay to mourn if you lose a loved one or if something happens like that. Or if your spouse divorces you. I mean, some men never get over that. I've met many men in my life that never have gotten over the divorce of their spouse. And I've met women, too, but it seems like men seem to really have a hard time getting over it when their spouse divorces them. It's like a tragic thing, and they never seem to be able to move on past that. But, every marriage, you got to move on, you know. All right, come out of there. All that mourning, come out, 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 come out of there, all the way out. Yeah, I can't count the amount of men that I've talked to like that over the years. It's been an amazing amount. Come out of there, all the way out, that mourning spirit, you have to go all the way out, all the way out. Go in Jesus' name. Keep coming out of there. The blood of Jesus, all the way out, all the way out, all that mourning spirit. Keep people in mourning, past the time of mourning. Come out in Jesus' name. There's nothing wrong with weeping and mourning. Jesus wept when Lazarus died. I mean, but it's when the devil, he'll keep you extending that to a time way beyond where it should be, you know. And then he brings in those spirits to torment a person. And some people never get over it. I've known a number of people, like several people I know have lost their sons and daughters, and they hadn't got over it. One of them turned to alcohol, and an alcoholic to this day. Another one is just not moving on with their walk with the Lord. Died in a car wreck a couple years ago. I think maybe a year and a half to 2 years ago. And they're not moving on. And that's tragic because I know that the loved one would want them to move on, right? I mean, they love their parents, and they want them not to, especially the ones that were saved, right? And so anyway, let's come out of there, all the way out, all the mourning spirit, come out, all the way out. Go, 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 in Jesus' name, go, the blood of Jesus. We come against spirits of heart attacks, too. We rebuke the spirit of a heart attack. We rebuke the spirit of cancer. Come out of there, go, go, go. Go, we rebuke the spirits, go, go, poor circulation, come out, diabetes, come out, B spirit of diabetes. We rebuke you. Come out. 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 The inability to believe you're loved, we command that spirit to come out that blocks love. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Inability to believe you are loved by the Lord. Inability to receive love. Come out in Jesus' name. We command you to go right now. Go, 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 go. Come out, 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 come out. Come out in Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way out of there. Go, go. The smoking addiction spirit. All the way out. All that addiction. Go right now. The smoking addiction. Come out. Tobacco spirits, go. In the name of Jesus, come on out of there. Go. All that addiction spirit, addiction to sweets and sugar, come out. Come out. Addiction to overeating all the time. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Paul says, I bring my body under subjection, lest I become a castaway. What I think that Christians need to take heed to the word of God and bring that body under subjection. You can't let the body do whatever it wants to do because it's ruled by the flesh. The flesh is full of lust. The lust to eat, overeat. The lust to have sugar. The lust to do things that are not good for the body. Yeah, so we rebuke that in Jesus' name. All those addictions, addiction to sweets, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Addiction to soda pop. Oh, I looked here the other day, soda pop has 14 or more teaspoons of sugar in it. I think I had the number low, but anyway, come out of there. Go. Do you want to drink that? And the other is just a deadly. I mean, you drink that aspartame that messes up the brain and the other things it does to your body. Wouldn't want aspartame. Wouldn't want that, what a sweet and low. Lord, have mercy. Don't put that. Better to put the sugar in your body than that stuff. Come out of there. All the way out. Go. All the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. And carbonation leaches calcium out of the body. I mean, you drink those carbonated drinks, it's taking the calcium out of your body. I mean, what are we doing? I mean, they've got you slow killing yourself. After all, they want to reduce the population. The earth is too populated, they say, right? So they do it through the medical system. They do it through the food industry. The devil is in the food industry, definitely. And they do it through the medical industry, right? The serpent medical industry, pharmakia, sorcery. I mean, come on. Hello. You got to be on guard at every direction. They do it through the merchant, the system of buying and selling and all of that. They're in the mall. They're in the box stores, the devil, all of that. Hello. Because he's the god of this world system of darkness. And, hey, how many people are in debt today? He's in the money system. How many people have let their credit cards sink them or borrowing sink them, and they're in debt over their head today? You know, I find these spirits that are working against every human being that are working against you right now. We come against those spirits right now. Go. Come out of there. Come out. Come out. All these addiction to spending money is where you get out of control and rack up all these credits, which is, you know, and it takes you years to pay off. Yeah, I've done that. I know about that. Yeah, I had some debt at one time, and a lot of it, and it worked for years and years and years. And I learned now I will not use a credit card unless I know that I can pay it at the end of the month. Otherwise, I won't. I refuse to use it. Come out of there. Come out of there. All the way out. Go, go. Bondage to mammon. Bondage to debt. Come out. Money addiction, a spending addiction, come out, come out, come out. Shopping addiction, addiction to shopping, come out, come out, come out. These things will not bring you full satisfaction in life. Nothing but Jesus can do that. Come out, come out, come out of there, come out, all the way out. All the way up out of there. Go, go. Addiction to anger and bad temper. You come out of there. Short fuse. Maybe people say, oh, yo, I know so-and-so. They got a short fuse. Don't get them angry. Come out. All the way out. Come out. All that short fuse. All that bad temper. Come out. Addicted to anger. Come out. You're an angry person. You're known as an angry person. Come out. Come out of there, all the way out. Go, 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 go. As quick-tempered, come out. All that quick-tempered spirit, come out. In Jesus' name, I bind you. Come out. Take a few calls. Get them moving. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out of there. Go, 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 go. Come out, 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 come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All that short temper spirit, all that impatience, come out. Impatience, you have no patience, no tolerance. Come out in Jesus' name, all the way out. Now, I don't have tolerance for sin, but you know, I'll forgive it, but that's not what I'm talking about here. That just have no tolerance, no patience, you can't wait, things irritate you, all that intolerant spirit, come out. Come out, 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 come out in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, all of you that have been called out, got to go. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, all the way out. Go in the name of Jesus. Be weakened by the blood of Jesus. We break your power. I bind you up in chains, demon. Come out, all the way out. You loose the people and let them go all the way out, all the way out. All that doubt and unbelief, come out. All that doubt and unbelief, come out, come out. All that poor me, self-pity, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out. All that idolatry, all these churches putting up Christmas trees in the front of the churches, that is idolatry if I've ever seen it. According to Jeremiah and that verse there, you know. I mean, what are they doing? Putting up a Christmas tree up there where Jesus is? It should be represented. That's idolatry. And a lot of Christians get mad at me over that. They don't like to hear that. They like their little Christmas tree. They like that mentality, but not what the word says, okay? So anyway, but I had someone leave our church because we wouldn't put a Christmas tree up one time. I remember that. Oh, yeah. They left. They wanted to decorate everything and put the Christmas tree up in the front. Not where I'm preaching the gospel isn't going to be. All right, anyway, keep coming out of there, all the way out. All that idolatry, any idolatry of this worldly season that we're in right now. Now, yeah, you could exalt Jesus, so that's wonderful, but there's so much other stuff going on too. Keep coming out, all the way out, all the way out. Keep coming up out of there. Go, 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 go. Go, keep coming out. All idolatry spirits, all self-love spirits, come out. Come out, all the way out, all the way out. Go, all that apathy spirit, go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Go, in the name of Jesus, yeah. All the way out, you have to go. Keep coming out, up and out, up and out. Up and out, all the way out, all the way up out of there. Go, go, go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out all the way. In Jesus' name, you got to go. Keep going. Up out of there. All the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. Move in Jesus' name. Keep moving out. You're defeated by the blood of Jesus, and you demons have to go. All the way out. We're talking to you, devils. Keep coming out. All the way out. All the way up out of there. In Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Go. All the way out. All the way out. The blood of Jesus is against you, demon. The blood of Jesus is against these spirits. Go, go, go. All the way out. Profanity, you come out. Profanity, cursing spirits, come out. All the way out. All the way out. People watch too many movies with too much cussing in it. They start cussing too. Yeah. And so we command those profanity spirits to come out. Go all the way out. All the way out. The blood of Jesus. Go, 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 go. All the way out. Keep coming out. All profanity. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out, come out, come out. Keep coming out, up and out, all the way out. Go in Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. All profanity, all cursing, cussing. Come out, come out, come out. I tell you, I've counseled so many. married couples over the years, and a lot of time when they get angry at each other, they start cussing. I mean, I have heard, had them confess it to me, because I ask them, many of them, did you use profanity? Yes, they admit it, they did. You know, so many of them, I mean, the majority, more than not, have used profanity at their spouses over the years. I've heard that in counseling, you know, and I'm not telling it off on anybody because I've heard it so many times, so nobody would know who I would be talking about. All right, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we ask you to seal this deliverance to the people who have received deliverance tonight, and that you administer to each one over the weekend in the way that you would have them to be ministered to, in the way that they desire, Lord. As long as it's a godly desire, I ask you to minister to them and encourage them and cause them to walk in a closer walk with you, Jesus, that they will draw near to you. So there's no better place to be than in your presence. That's one thing I have learned over the years. There's nothing I desire more than your presence, Lord. I long to be in your presence. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So, Father, we just bless them all in Jesus' name. Thank you for blessing each and every one of them that have been here tonight and those who will listen later over the weekend and beyond. Hallelujah. Bless them in Jesus' name. And, Lord, those who give, Lord, prosper them and bring it back, Lord, to them abundantly above all that they could ever think or ask. Father, when they give to this ministry or other ministries, Father, when they're faithful tithers, Lord, we just ask you to abundantly, more than enough, supply and open the windows of heaven and pour them out a blessing that there not be room enough to receive like you promised in Malachi, Lord. We thank you for these promises that are true and real. In Jesus' name, amen. And Lord, we just want to thank all of you for your prayers too. And thank you for praying for the different ones that I mentioned from time to time. And lifting them up, too, in your prayer times. And all right, theoasiscommunitychurch.com is the website. If you'd like to email us, theoasis1@localnet.com, theoasis1@localnet.com. If you'd like to send a testimony or, by snail mail or your support to the ministry, it's P.O. Box 50162. That's P.O. Box 50162. Billings, Montana, 59105. That's 59105. That's the mailing address. That's the best way to be in touch with us, is that or the email. All right. God bless you. We love you. We thank you for being here tonight. We'll see you back next Friday night. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. Be with you. Bye. Amen. All right.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. A Million Voices, that's the name of that song. Oh, thank you. I appreciate the link. And anybody that listens, if they want a link to, they said it's okay. If you want a link to see the news on the son of this officer, the son officer who was ran over, hit by a car, actually, and the car hit. And they hit the car and the car hit. I'd be happy to send that link to you. Anybody that's still listening, I know that most people are already off, but I could do that. He said I could. So I just want to let you know that. Hallelujah. All right. Well, you know, the Bible says Jesus was moved with compassion. You know, we need to all learn to be moved with compassion. You know? Some of them are going hard. You're not moved with compassion for anybody anymore. You just had too many bad things happen to you. You don't get moved with compassion. But Jesus was moved with compassion as he looked at all the people out there as sheep without a shepherd. But we have a shepherd. Jesus is our chief shepherd. So let's not ever lose compassion. Let's not ever let that go, okay? That's just something that comes to me as we were sitting here listening to that last song there as I depart here and go about the evening. So the Lord bless you and have compassion for somebody. You know, it comes from the Holy Spirit, okay? Amen. Amen. Compassion. Be moved with compassion for somebody today, tomorrow, the next day, whenever, this next week. And you'll see that the Holy Spirit is just waiting to do that for you, to give you compassion for people. Amen. Amen. I have compassion for my brother who lost his son. You know, I have compassion. It is, and everybody's hurt in some way, you know. It doesn't take long to find where they're hurting at, right? Just get in a little conversation with them and you'll find out where they're hurting. Right. So, yeah, I understand. This world is full of hurting people, and hurting people need a Savior. They need compassion. They need Jesus. They don't need to self-medicate and get loaded on drugs and alcohol and other stuff. That's not ever going to solve their problem, is it? You guys know that. Amen. All right. Well, good night, y'all. I love y'all, and we will see you back next week. Bye-bye now.